Welcome to another episode of Rich Single Mama TV. This is Samantha Gregory, your host. Today's episode is a recording I did a while back for Mastering Motherhood Summit. In this episode, I talk about guilt-free motherhood and why it's so important for mothers to release the guilt and begin to do motherhood their own way. Listen in, and hopefully you'll glean some good advice and encouragement to be who you are as a mother.
Hi there, welcome back to Mastering Motherhood Summit. This is your host, Janet Barsotti. If you're joining us for the first time today, I want to thank you for attending the Mastering Motherhood interview series. This series is all about sharing tips and practical solutions to help moms create balance with home, family, work, and business, not to mention everything in between. In today's topic, we're going to be covering something that every mom struggles with, and that is mother's guilt. And boy, does it get us every time. The woman you're going to hear from today, Samantha Gregory, is an author, speaker. She's an empowerment coach who has been impacted thousands of lives of women, especially single moms, for the last decade. She is the founder and editor of RichSingleMama.com. She's been seen on NBC, CNN, ABC, just to name a few. In today's interview, you're going to learn how you can move guilt to gladness. We're going to talk about how to move away from doing everything, and we're going to tackle what we need to do to avoid guilty mom syndrome. And so much more. So without any further ado, I am extremely delighted to introduce you to Samantha. Welcome to the show, Samantha.
Thank you, Janet. I'm so happy to be here. This is a phenomenal summit, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. Now, before I get to the formal questions piece of the show, I would love it if you could take a couple of minutes and share with our audience who you are, what you do, and what you stand for.
Okay, excellent. Again, my name is Samantha Gregory, and I am a solo mom in Atlanta, Georgia, with two teens. I have a just turned 18-year-old and a 14-year-old girl and boy. And I have been spending my life, most of my life, actually creating a platform for women who are either single moms or women who are looking to get into business and increase their net worth, and not just in money-wise, but personally, because we struggle so much as women with understanding who we are and what our power is and really tapping into that power. And so my job, my goal, my passion in life is really to help women tap into that. So I encourage, empower, and inspire women to recognize their worth, embrace their freedom, and attract love and wealth. And I do this through writing and speaking and so many different ways so I can reach as many women as possible. So I stand for women, basically, women and they're helping them stand in their power, stand in their beauty, in their femininity, so that they can affect change in the world. And so I'm excited about being a part of this summit and really tapping into what I am at this point is a mother and connecting with other mothers and helping them move from guilt into gladness and joy so that and embracing their imperfect motherhood, because guess what? Nobody's perfect. And we really just want to learn to be our authentic selves so that our kids can grow up and see that, hey, I don't have to worry about am I overdoing it or if I'm pleasing everyone, but I'm truly happy with who I am, and I love it. So that's who I am. That's what I'm standing for.
Love it. And that's exactly what attracted me to you. So you're perfect for this event and for this cause, and we're grateful to have you. So I'm going to kick it off with mother's guilt. Oh, boy, this is a major topic. I could literally spend 2 hours just on this alone. So let's talk about what is the number one area in which moms feel most guilty.
I feel that, and I've experienced this myself, we feel that we just can't do it all. Doing it all is something that we have a line, I think we've been fed by society, the church, media, because we see all these images and portrayals in the lives of people around us who say, well, if you're not a perfect mother, if you're not getting everything done, what, from 5 a.m. in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, then you're pretty much a failure. And so that, I mean, whether it's taking care of the kids, take them to every activity under the sun, whether it's being the perfect wife or significant other, whatever, perfect employee, everything, if we're not doing it all, then we feel guilty because we are pretty much the center of the lives of the people around us. And by not doing it all, then it feels like, wow, I'm not good enough. And so that guilt sets in, and if our child is not perfectly getting perfect grades or perfectly dressed or in perfect health, then, again, we feel guilty because we bear so much weight on our shoulders as moms, as women. And it really it knocks us out, and it makes us feel so inadequate. And as a result, there's so many issues that result, whether it's illness or depression or any number of things that make us feel totally underwhelming in our lives. And so that just not being able to do everything, that is the number one thing that moms feel guilty about.
Yes, yes. And it's so true. And I know every mom on this call can relate to that. I mean, you know, sometimes it's a daily battle. We truly are, you know, we feel guilty about everything. And I think you said it perfectly when you had mentioned that, you know, because we're the center of everyone around us. And if there's one element we're not doing, we automatically feel, oh, my God, I'm a crappy mommy. And so we just do more and more and more. And it absolutely does have a lot to do with what we see on today's society. And that just puts way more pressure on the mom, for sure. I know I personally struggle with it. And it's an art we had to learn on how to make that mental shift. So tell our audience, you know, as we experience feeling guilty, how could we go about moving from guilt to gladness?
I think the first thing to do is acknowledge the guilt. Acknowledging the problem is the first step into finding a solution, and in this situation, moving to gladness. I remember when I was a single mom, in school full-time, working part-time, taking care of the kids, doing everything, I felt so guilty because I couldn't get my dishes washed at night. And it was just, and my kids were younger. They weren't at the age where they could be responsible for doing that. And I just, my heart sank every single time I looked at my kitchen or my home and I saw something out of place. The floor wasn't vacuumed. But I was doing so much just to try to improve my life and be able to be a better provider for my children. And so One day I had to just really stop and think about it and say, guess what? You are doing everything. You're doing so much more than most of the women in your life that you know. So give yourself a break. Sure, you feel a little guilty, but that the world is not going to end. And I had to start asking myself the question, what is the worst thing that can happen if I don't get the dishes done or if I can't get the floor vacuumed or if my child is not eating 3 square meals a day? What is the worst thing that can happen? And I discovered, well, not much. I mean, we're not going to die. There's going to be another day to live and maybe get it right. But I had to finally relax and release it and say, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I am hanging up my supermom cape, and I'm going to just settle into being an ordinary mom who has flaws and failures, but who really is just concerned about nurturing my children and making sure that they're healthy and whole. And that, for me, was all about spending quality time with them, giving them what they need in terms of emotional support, spiritual support, and really growing them into people who could launch out into the world and be successful. And so I started saying, okay, well, not today, I'll do it tomorrow. Or finding other ways to really get myself off the hook and do the best I can every single day and really living in the moment. Living in the moment has been such a up and down process for me. But I'm learning that when I live in the moment, I'm happier. And then my children are happier. And for me, that's success. And then I find myself more joyful and glad. And with all that being said, I just had to find different ways, different things that I really enjoy, which is music and nature, getting out there and just really taking time to enjoy what means the most to me outside of my children. And I started figuring out, hey, I don't have to live up to anybody else's standard. I have to create my own standard. And once I did that and I stopped looking at other people and listening to other people, then my gladness started to come. It started to surface, and I can enjoy my family and my friends and set clear boundaries with people who wanted to dictate how I should be living. And so that's really, you know, how I started moving from guilt into gladness. It's just really letting go and releasing it and really embracing myself and the things I enjoyed and loved and just, you know, letting myself off the hook, basically.
Mm-hmm. So powerful. And, I want to touch on one key thing that you mentioned, living in the moment. That, it gave me goosebumps when you mentioned it because, you know, it is a learned thing. I think when we step into motherhood and things get so chaotic and so reactive, it is so easy to get caught up on your daily endless to-do list. I got bottomless, you know, to-do list. And then you're just chugging along, you know, chasing one thing after another. And it could just put us in this mode of just go, 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 go. And then we forget to stop and smell the roses. We forget to stop and enjoy the beauty that's around us, whether it's in our kids or in our lifestyle. And that's when we get in trouble, right? That's when we start to get overwhelmed or exhausted. And I love that you use the dishes as an example because I tell you, I don't know a single woman that doesn't struggle with that. And I don't know if it's just how we're wired as women where we feel that it's our job. I'm the woman of the house. It's my job to cook, my job to clean and, you know, fill in the blank, right, as we wear the zillion hats, you know, in our role as mothers. So it does take conscious effort to be present and really ask ourselves, like you said, what is the worst thing that could happen? And it seems simple enough, but it does put things in perspective, doesn't it?
It does. It really, really does. And so when you do finally put it in perspective, you're like, huh, okay, it's not that bad after all. And guess what? There's always going to be some dishes to wash because there's always going to be meals to be eaten. There's always going to be all these different things. And sure, you want to, you know, make sure you have clean dishes to eat off of, but at the end of the day, if you can, this week, just for this week, go and buy some disposable plates and just use those and get some help from your family members, which we'll go into further, and then you'll find that, hey, I don't really have to do all this by myself, and I can, you know, start having a quality life that I really deserve.
Yes, yes. It's funny you mentioned the disposable plates. I remember my husband's like all about eating from paper plates because, you know, he didn't like doing dishes and whatnot. And when we got married and started a family, and he used to tell me all the time, let's use paper plates. It's less dishes for you to work on. And I was like, no, I like eating at a real plate, you know.
Yeah.
But boy, did that change quickly after we had two kids, and it was just like, you know what? I think I'm ready for that paper plate now, and it does make a big difference to, you know, just to grab and clear the table. But it's, you know, minor adjustments like that that could make a big impact. So let's talk about, I mean, as moms, we wear the zillion hats, and we truly are. We become everything to everyone. And it does become this battle of learning, you know, learning to say no without saying no. So, so what would you say is the number one thing a mom could do to relieve the pressure of doing everything? Because God knows we try to do everything.
Oh, yeah. So my number one thing is just simply delegate.
Yeah.
I love that word. When my children were younger, I started delegating tasks to them, especially around the house, because, hey, when you're young, you can pick up socks. You can fold them up. You can maybe put the bowls and cups away if they're at a level that you can reach. You can set the table. You can do so many different things, age-appropriate things. And so I started delegating tasks to my kids so I didn't feel like I had to do everything around the house. And then as they got older, I was not only teaching them how to help, but I was teaching them responsibility. I was teaching them how to take care of their home in the future and take care of their bodies. So, you know, I didn't have to, you know, spend so much time and effort just monitoring and being a helicopter mom and doing it all. I simply started delegating. And then I started translating that into other parts of my life. The things that I felt overwhelmed with doing, I would delegate it. So that meant I may ask a friend to come over and help me do something. Or, for instance, my sister, she loves shopping, loves it, loves fashion shopping. And so I would delegate to her shopping for me to buy my clothes because I'm not really big on shopping. You know, I don't like going looking for racks and racks and racks of clothes. She has great taste and great style. I'll give her money plus some extra, go shop for me. And so for me, that helped me get rid of one thing on my list. And then with different services, I used to have someone cut the grass, and then I would have some, of course, you bring someone in to do plumbing work. So a lot of times I'm finding that moms and some women, especially if you're really ultra-independent, you want to do it all. I can do it. I'm able-bodied. I know how to do it. And a lot of times we fall into the feminist ideal, and nothing wrong with being feminist, but the feminist ideal is I can do it all, and I can have it all. But my thing is you get burned out really quickly because women just are not built to do it all. Some people hate the word delicate creatures, but we have an essence about us that is meant to be served and not to always be of service. So sometimes we need to get people to serve us, whether it's our kids. Bring mommy a cup of water out of the refrigerator or a bottle of water. You know, getting someone to, you know, take care of our car, pump the gas, so many different things, and translate some business as well. So delegating, for me, has been the biggest pressure reducer in terms of feeling like I have to do it all and finally getting rid of some of that guilt because I haven't done it all. Okay. Now, some people may say, well, hey, it costs to delegate, you know, especially if you need service people. You have to save the money, you know, because what's more important, your sanity and your peace of mind, or is it, hey, I can do it all by myself? So you really have to make choices and choose your battles and decide what can I delegate today and take action, delegate it, and one thing at a time, and you'll start feeling like, wow, okay, cool. Don't have to do it all. I don't feel guilty because it's actually done. So that, for me, would be one of the number one things to help with the whole guilt and relieving the pressure.
And it's a big one, too, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because as you're talking, I'm like, Samantha, are you in my head? Like, when you mentioned, you know, because I'm that person you described, like, I'm, you know, to be honest, like, a lot of it is because I do enjoy it, too. I'm a total, like, do-it-yourself kind of gal. Like, I love being creative, and I like handling it. I think there's a little bit of the whole type A, you know, personality. I like to call myself, I'm a recovered control freak. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm as bad as I used to be. I'm totally recovered. But I tell you, delegation by far was one of my biggest challenge because I think your ego kind of gets in the way, at least in my case. I'm sure, you know, it had something to do with it because of that feeling of, why shouldn't I do it? I know I can totally do it. I'm capable of doing it, you know. And when you're like an overachiever type A, you're used to being the doer. And you step into motherhood, and instead of recalibrating your own expectations, you end up just doing more and more and more. And I'll never forget, I vividly remember a very personal conversation with my husband, you know, around cleaning the house, because I'm kind of that person, like, I like structure. I like being organized. I seem to function my best when, you know, the place is pleasant and relaxing. Well, that kind of goes out the door when you have young kids. And that was an area I totally struggled in. And I remember my husband saying, hire a cleaning lady. And I was like, no, literally like digging in my heels. No, I could do it. I could do it. And you can for a while. And then, like you said, what happens? You get burnt out. And eventually, I finally caved in. I said, fine, I will hire somebody. And now I have somebody come in every other week. But I tell you, it took some mind shift to get to that point, understand the benefits of delegation, anywhere from really like telling myself, would I rather spend the next 2 hours cleaning or take my kids out to the park and have some quality time with them while somebody else is cleaning for me, right? Huge mind shift. And now it's like, you know, once you kind of make that shift, do you feel that it's kind of addicting?
Oh, yes, because you start living in your power, and that's not as far as, you know, being a dictator or anything, but it's simply I'm made for, you know, nurturing and loving and all those wonderful things motherhood entails. I don't have to be a slave, and I think so many women get caught up in the Proverbs 31 woman concept. Great concept, love it. She was adored by her husband and her kids, but people are under the impression that she did everything herself. What? That's not true. She didn't do everything herself. She had people to help her. She had a handmaid, and she had people in her home. So she was really delegating those things, and so that her home would be well run without sacrificing herself. And so how could her husband call her blessed and adore her if she didn't have time to spend with him, which she really couldn't do if she was doing it all and being upset that his feet are on the table and he's tracking mud in the house. You know, you can't be in that space if you are constantly going, doing, and then upset and irritated and anxious and angry when people come in and undo what you've done. So if you don't have that attachment to it, then which happens when you delegate, then you'll have more time to enjoy the people in your life.
Yes. Makes a big difference, that whole concept of let go and let live, you know, giving up control. So ties into that, right? But you're absolutely right. I, you know, now it's funny. I ask myself, is this the hill you want to die on? That's kind of my thing, you know. How do you say, like, what's the worst thing that could happen, you know, when you fight, I call it fighting your own demons, that little lady in your head that's telling you, oh, you should really be doing this or do that. So I just say, thank you for sharing. Is this the hill you want to die on? I mean, really about, it truly boils down to prioritizing, reprioritizing, committing, and recommitting on a daily basis. Because the truth of the matter is there's no magic pill that you could take and all of a sudden everything is like you said in the magazines, everything runs smoothly, like as if, you know, it's being handled by one person, when in reality it does boil down to having a team that you could trust and delegate so you could have the life you truly desire and want and deserve, you know, and enjoying the beauty in life and not fuss over the little things. So, so true. So, ladies, the sooner you start delegating, trust me, the sooner you'll start enjoying the little things, absolutely. Now, let's talk about now the journey of motherhood. It's so easy to get caught up on the day-to-day chaos. So what message do you have for moms? What is the most important thing to moms that they should remember throughout the journey of motherhood?
I say that the most important thing to do is remember your womanhood, because mm-hmm. you were a woman before you were a mother, and sometimes we forget that. We forget that there's a person underneath the apron strings, and there's a person who's an individual there. And so when we are caught up in the role of mother, we sometimes forget we're a woman. We may let ourselves go. I know I've seen so many pictures and videos and in the real life of women who have just let themselves go in terms of being a woman. She has hidden her beauty under hair rollers and sweatpants, and that, yes, they have their time and their place, but at some point in time, you really have to stop and think, wait, I wasn't always like this. This wasn't who I was. And being, by immersing yourself in this role so 100%, you forget about all the thoughts, the dreams, the ideals, the person that you are, truly are, the person you want to become in the future. Because being a mother, the active role of being a mother lasts for a short time, but you have the rest of your life to be a woman. And so remembering to spend that time in your womanhood, so whether that's with your spouse, whether that's with friends, whether that's however way that it manifests in your life, take that time. Don't forget that you're a woman, and don't put your life on the back burner all the time in deference to other people, because at the end of the day, the kids leave. They go to school, go to college, they get their own lives, but you're still kind of left there. And so when they become the center of your being, you move to the edge of your life, and you're just not who you once were. And that's why so many women have the empty nest syndrome, and they have no direction or focus, and it's so hard for them to move forward when their kids leave. So start now. Remember every single day of your life that you are a woman. So pamper yourself and get your nails done. Do your eyebrows. Put on some makeup. Not heavy, but just light enough to make you feel pretty. Because standing in the mirror every day and applying, you know, wonderful, beautiful colors and makeup, that is what makes us feel beautiful and like a woman. And so it also sets the stage for teaching your children, your daughter especially, how to be a woman, because she's going to be growing up and she's going to be looking at you. So, and you want to be the most prominent force in her life in terms of what is a woman, how does she look. Because you don't want your daughter to go out and look at other role models and think, I want to be like her or her or her instead of my mom. So embrace your womanhood. Remember that you are full of feminine essence and beauty, and let it come forth out of your life. And your children will love you to death for it, or love you to life for it, should I say.
Samantha, I could just reach over and hug you for mentioning that. I cannot emphasize how important it is for women to remember that, because
mm-hmm.
Oh man, you touch so many areas, and I'll tell you exactly why it resonates with me, because in, I would say, early stages of motherhood, I was that girl that I kind of, you know, went from having it all together and totally feeling like my life just turned upside down, because I lost myself in that process of being everything to everyone, putting myself last on the list, and looking in the mirror and feeling like, what the heck just happened,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that makes a big, big difference in your attitude, in your overall happiness, and it kind of boils down to really just acknowledging that you are multidimensional.
Mm-hmm.
There is more to
yes.
you just being a mom. And you are worthy of your time, giving yourself the gift of 15 minutes in the morning to get ready, wear things that make you feel good, you know, put on your makeup that makes you feel beautiful. I mean, I appreciate you mentioning that because when things get hectic, it's so easy, especially for, you know, women that might have home businesses where you're not really mm-hmm. required to drive into an office. You could so get in that habit of being in your sweats all day long, put your hair in a ponytail, and it just doesn't inspire you to go and do anything. And I remember it was those little things I vividly remember missing in my life. Like for mm-hmm. me, my biggest pet peeve is painting my nails. I love them. I love painting my nails. And I went mm-hmm. so far away from it, but it was those little things that added. And at the end of the day, you know, it eventually catches up with you. It could make you feel like, you know, like, not to say resentful, that's not the right word, but you just become unhappy and you don't know why. Yeah. Because you lose yourself, right? So I love you for mentioning, in fact, we have an expert in the show that specifically touches on the importance of, you know, maintaining your relationship with yourself and your spouse, because that's another mm-hmm. topic all in all that I feel like we kind of let go of. Everything becomes about the kids. So bless you for mentioning it, because I think, you know, this is why we're having a candid conversation like this, to kind of plant the seeds and give mom to mom permission that it's okay to take care of yourself. Really.
Oh, it is. And I think it helps ward off depression, because when you're a mom and you're with your kids and everyone else takes precedence over you, or they're the center of your life, your husband or your significant other is the center of your life, work is the center of your life, everything takes over, but you have no place in your life, depression starts, because you start feeling that, again, resentment, the anger, that it starts small, but then it starts to expand, and you really don't know why. You start eating more, you start, the emotional part of yourself starts crying out, and sometimes you have no idea why. But until you really sit and think about it and you take a look at the situation and really be honest with yourself, then you see, oh, wait, I lost me, and I need to go and find her. I need to find her, reintroduce myself to her, and embrace her and love her like I love everyone else in my life. And when you do that, wow, yeah, you feel so much better. And taking that 15 minutes, like you said, to just for me time and embracing and guarding it, almost being, you know, a little obsessed about my me time, you know, that's so important.
Yeah, I call it selfish mommy time. I encourage every woman who's listening on the call to give yourself permission to take 15 minutes of selfish mommy time and do something that's purely joyous to you, whatever that looks like, whether it's grabbing a cup of coffee, painting your nails, reading your magazine, but 15 minutes all about you, all about you as a woman. And in fact, I challenge you to do that for the next week, and I guarantee you will notice such a major shift in your attitude, your energy, there's this positive glow that comes over, and that feeds off to your kids too. It really does.
Oh, it does. It really, really does.
So let's talk about balance, balance, balance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a major topic, and do you think that it's really possible to achieve balance as a mother, as a woman?
That is a million-dollar question, and unfortunately, I have to disappoint a few people and say no, it's not. I say that because in our life, again, we have our roles that we play, whether we're an employee, employer, a mom, a special someone for someone else, so daughter, friend, all those things that we do in our lives makes up who we are. And so there may be times when one thing in your life is just glaring and needs your attention. A new baby, toddlers, kids, until they're about 5 years old, they need all of your time. and you're going to be off balance because the other parts of your life may take a back seat or be on the back burner, and you just may not have time to pick up the phone and call your best friend or, you know, do that project that you've been needing to do. And so, to me, that's part of life, that you have the ups and your downs, and nothing will ever always be in balance. You would never be able to give equal amount of time for every single thing that makes you you. And that's okay, because I like to call it, in my life, it's my obsession time. Because sometimes I'm obsessed. You know? And I'm obsessing about my child. Recently, my daughter, she was in a program where she was learning how to fly a plane, which is absolutely phenomenal. So I spent an inordinate amount of time planning with her, getting all the details on the control. And so my business stuff started falling by the wayside. But I got her into the program. She got in. She went through it, so I was able to spend time on my business again because she was gone for about 2 weeks. So there's always going to be a time where you're obsessing. If it's a project that you really want to get out of the door, if you're a businesswoman, you're launching a new product or service or idea, you're going to obsess about that. I'm sure you probably obsessed about the Mastering Motherhood Summit. And that's just part of life. And that may have meant some imbalanced time with some other parts of your life. And that's okay. Now, I think when we start accepting that, okay, hey, you know, I'm a student. I'm going to be studying for the next 3 or 4 years to get either a certificate, a degree, or what have you. And it's going to be imbalanced in my life. But at the end of that, I'll start putting more emphasis on something else. And giving my kids what they need. And that's, to me, why it's so important to recognize the difference between quantity time and quality time, so that when you have those moments of imbalance, you can tap into those precious moments where you have the quality time with your children or with your husband or with the people that matter most in your life, so that they won't feel left out, so they won't feel like you're neglecting them. And the imbalance then becomes, I won't say okay, but it becomes bearable for them and for yourself.
Yes. I this does require for someone, like you said, someone to be very present and be aware. I call it, there's no such thing as balance in a sense that it truly is all about prioritizing, reprioritizing, mm-hmm. committing and recommitting and rinse and repeat on a daily basis.
Yes.
You know, my philosophy is like, I want women to know you can't have your cake and eat it too. You have to be very conscious about what is important to you today, right now, this moment. What is your priority right now? Whether it's your child that's sick that needs your love and attention, which means something gets to be placed on the back burner. Being flexible, you know, and just giving yourself permission to shuffle things around. I call it you are the director of your world. You're in a movie. You're the director. You get to decide how it ends. You get to decide how things are going to run, you know, or you're the your own author of your book, of your life. Your life is your book. So plug things in and out, you know, based on the results you're looking for. But, you know, it's truly that. It's not what the society says, what this perfect superwoman looks like, you know. It does require just being conscious and making conscious choices on any given day and cut yourself some slack, really.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So,
because if you don't, you start feeling guilty all over again.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the guilty mom syndrome that we all suffer from. I mean, heck, I'm not perfect. I have days I revert back to my old ways, too. So let's talk about what advice do you have for moms about how they can go about avoiding the guilty mom syndrome?
What I'm finding is very important that you guard your mind and your space. And why I say that is because often as mothers, we will pick up books, we will go to different people for advice, we will also have advice thrust upon us that we may not have asked for. But I think it's so important that you scrutinize the source of information that you are receiving about what it means to be a mother, what it means to manage your household, what it means to raise your children. Because you may come up against advice from people who you truly, in retrospect, may say, wait, I don't really agree with that, or that method doesn't work for me. So really be careful about who you go to for advice, who you listen to, not just in books, but in magazines, on television, the shows you watch. What are they saying? And so it's important to make a decision about how you want your life to look. And when you do that, then and having a game plan, a really kind of focused game plan, then it's hard for you to accept advice or information from people that don't align with who you are as a mother, a woman, a person. And so new baby care, the way you want to raise your child may be very different from what your mother-in-law thinks you should raise your child. And so just be very careful about that and make a choice, make a decision. It is within your right to make a decision. Okay, I want my child to be, I want to do attachment parenting, for instance. Very close, all the time. You're always aware of what's going on with your child. Whereas your mother or mother-in-law may say, no, you need to put the child down, let them cry it out. Let them be in their own room by themselves. Stop, you know, spoiling that child. I heard that a lot when my babies were young, because I chose to do attachment parenting. But for a generation that didn't do it and maybe not understand it, they may think you're spoiling your child and that they're going to be good for nothing. But you have to make the choice. You have to weigh the options and weigh the consequences. And really, through trial and error sometimes, do it your way instead of the way everyone else is telling you to do it. And that's really the greatest advice I can give, because our mothering method is as unique as we are as individuals.
Yes.
And so we have to do it the way that works for us. So if you're a type A mom and you want a regimen and a schedule, then do that. But also, and don't feel guilty if someone else is doing it a different way.
Yeah.
Just decide, hey, and especially consider the sources, you know. Look at, if a mother is giving you advice, look at her kids. Is that how you want your child to turn out? You know, be
it's
honest
true.
With yourself. Because if that child is bratty, a know-it-all, and a bully, do you really want to take advice from someone whose child is like that? You might want to think about that a little harder. So you have to look at it all the way around.
It's so true. And stop the comparison cycle, too. I feel like so many moms, especially new moms, and, you know, and I think confidence kind of comes over time. But I know a lot of new moms kind of it's so easy to look at another mom that maybe you want to emulate, whether it's the lifestyle or whatever it might be, and you start comparing yourself and your circumstances. And the reality is, you know, everyone's priorities are different. So the lifestyle they choose for them is different, because I think so much of that contributes to guilt, you know, in moms when you start comparing. And I think you couldn't have said it better when you said earlier, take a look at the source, you know, maybe they have clean lady coming in, you know, every week, and that's why their house is spotless all the time. And, you know, it, that's not fair to you if, you know, you're working full-time and you're running a business and you're doing all these laundry list of other things, you know, putting things in perspective and definitely getting out of that of cost comparison to others, for sure, for sure. So We are just about running out of time now. If you were to leave our audience with one important takeaway, what would it be?
I would say that at the end of the day, your kids really don't care about how their food is cut up or whether they're caught up on their vaccinations or anything else. They simply want to be with you and enjoy a guilt-free, poised, and powerful motherhood. They want you. And all the guilt, all the anguish that you feel because you're not perfect, because you see mom A or mom B doing one thing, when you're a mom, you're a Z kind of mom, and you zag all over the place, that's okay. Embrace who you are. Release the guilt, and just enjoy your children, because they are only with you for a short time. And then they're moving on with their lives, and you'll be left with yourself and your significant other. But just remember, you're going to always take yourself where you are, and you can't carry the baggage of guilt with you the entire time. So drop it, let it go, and learn to live, love, and embrace every moment of every day of your life.
Mm-hmm. So true. Love it, love it. So now, you were so gracious to give a gift to our audience, Samantha. So everybody who's on the call, check out the email you have received from Mastering Motherhood about today's interview release. In that email, you will find a very special link to Samantha's gift. Samantha, could you tell our audience a little bit more what the gift is?
That would be actually the guide that I wrote for moms, and it's called The Guilt-Free Motherhood Guide. And it's all about how to stop feeling guilty and start feeling glad you are an imperfect mother. I've also included the Guilt-Free Mom Manifesto inside of this guide. And I think when you see this manifesto, you're going to be like, wow, this is truly what I want to embody and embrace so that I can just let go of the guilt and start living the life that I love and create for myself and for my kids. Definitely can pick that up.
Absolutely. And it's such a major topic. Honestly, I could have spent 2 hours on each of the questions we covered. It's an important one, too, because it does touch every mom at some point, even daily, really. So I so appreciate your contributions to this amazing movement towards creating sisterhood for mommies and sharing this wealth of tips and information mom to mom to help one another. So thank you for your contributions and being part of the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. And audience, thank you for joining today's conversation. This is your host, Janet Barsotti from Mastering Motherhood Summit. I will see you in your inbox tomorrow. Bye for now.